Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Oh, it's not Superbook Sports anymore. Whoops. Sorry. Brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I am very excited to do a mailbag tonight to just chat with Nuggets fans for a little bit, vibe out for a little bit, have a good time. We're mostly going to do a mailbag, but we could talk a little bit about the Celtics losing tonight to the Miami Heat, the Heat without Jimmy Butler, which is frankly insane. That's not a good Heat team. Like, that should not be happening, but it just happens and it just continues to happen for whatever reason. Maybe it's just the Heat. Maybe that's just who they are, and maybe we should be more respectful for who they are at this stage of their tenure. Either way, I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Really appreciate all the love and support. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and also, this goes this way, go get that link as we continue. We're working with Autograph a little bit. Want to develop a nice partnership with them. Go check out their app. I'm going to do an ad read for them in just a little bit, but should be a lot of fun. Always looking forward to trying new things with the Denver Nuggets community. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about how just everything's happening here. We've got our first Laker fan in the building. Lakers, I remember Lakers in six was the call at the beginning of, and when we were talking about this series before it actually started. So I assume you thought that they would get one of the ones. That did not actually happen. That did not actually happen for sure. Lakers in 6 years, as Master Kirby puts it, might not be the worst call in the world. It's funny, I saw something earlier today that ever since LeBron did not pick Nikola Jokic in the All-Star game, he has not defeated Nikola Jokic. Regular season, playoffs, whatever. That's insane. That's really funny. And just one of those things that, like, hey, maybe Nikola Jokic takes things a little bit more personally than we think. Maybe he takes things a little bit harder than you might think. That kind of a slight, saving Nikola Jokic, the MVP of the league, consensus best player in the world at that time, saving him until the end might not have been the brightest idea in the world. But hey, who knows? It is what it is. Always fun to think about stuff like that. But initially here, Mun 3000 says, if we do get to the finals and we face the Celtics, we have to watch every Miami Heat versus Celtics game to see how Miami beats them. It was funny tonight. Like, it was just black magic, man. Like, just it, I don't know how to describe it other than the fact that the Heat, they just play free in these situations. They just don't, like, they don't care about missing. And when you don't care about missing, you make more. You do. You're put into a position where you don't have to think too much about, oh, what are the drawbacks if we miss? Nobody's betting on the Heat in this series. I saw at one point, I think the Heat were minus 50,000 to win the series at either FanDuel or DraftKings. And I can say those names now because I'm not sponsored by Superbook. How insane is that? Minus 50,000 to win a series. That basically means that you'd have to bet $5 or $50,000 in order to win $100. That's crazy. And so the Heat get the win tonight. And the Heat could potentially progress going forward. All they got to do is survive until Jimmy Butler can get back. I don't think anybody really expects Jimmy Butler to get back soon. But hey, if they win one game without Jimmy Butler, what's to say they can't win another game at home without Jimmy Butler? And the Celtics have just immediately given up home court. So I wonder what this looks like in Miami. I mean, I don't think the Celtics are going to lose the series. They might just win the next three games and it'll be fine. But it is just so funny the way that this happens. So they play free. They have a great coach in Eric Spoelstra. And they just play hard. That's the other thing. Also, my guy Jaime Jaquez Jr., a lot of fun to watch him. 14 points only, and he wasn't the main guy, obviously, but he hit some big shots. Tyler Herro, 24 points, 14 assists in this game. And they wanted to trade him for Damian Lillard. How funny is that? Yeah. Cosmic says, it's a nice blueprint for beating them, if anything. LOL. You're right. Got to jack up threes, and you got to take and make the wide-open threes that you do get. And for Denver, three-point shooting has actually been a kind of a big story so far in this series for the Nuggets. So that's probably a nice pivot point. That's probably a nice little pivot point here for talking about the Nuggets again. But hey, it's just kind of funny to see how other teams are doing. So if you've got any other series you want my takes on, I'll talk about them at the end of the podcast, at the end of the video. But for now, let's get into the mailbag, because I asked questions earlier. I asked on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, what do people want to know about, or what questions do they have about the Nuggets-Lakers series? And that was after game two. So most of these are with the context of Jamal Murray hitting one of the greatest shots of all time with the Nuggets. So that's obviously very cool to see. But we're going to get into it. Let's talk about some of these potential questions that folks have, and I'll bounce around to questions in the chat as well. So don't worry, I won't try to ignore anybody. To be clear, let's get into it though. At Sunjoid, Sunil Joid, I think I'm probably butchering the pronunciation on this ad. Greatest individual playoff victory in Nuggets history after winning the finals in Western Conference Finals. So I assume what that means is, hey, finals, Western Conference Finals, take those out of it. Is there any other victory in Nuggets franchise history that you can think of that's more valuable? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there were times where, hey, if Denver just gets to the Western Conference Finals, then sure, that's a big deal. I would say that this is probably the most valuable first round series win. One actual matchup that I think about, when Carmelo Anthony hit the game winner in Dallas to go up, I think it was 3-0 against the Dallas Mavericks in 2009. That's one that I think about is like, okay, maybe this one probably deserves a little bit more love. I think that's the first round series, obviously, in 1994, where best of five, you face the number one seeded Seattle Supersonics and you're the number eight seeded Denver Nuggets. That's one that stands out in my mind as well. But other than that, like this has that potential for, outside of finals, Western Conference Finals, definitely has potential for being the greatest Denver Nuggets franchise win in NBA history, just where they were in that game. They were down 20. They had no business winning that game. It's why I consistently was saying, if you're the Lakers, you can't lose that one because everything went well. The Nuggets shot so poorly. Jamal had a horrible game for three quarters. And they still found a way to lose it anyway if you're the Lakers. So, man, it would be hard for me to pick a different one other than the two that I listed. I think there are others, obviously, that you could go to. But the two that I listed with the win over the Seattle Supersonics to be the first 8 seed to upset a 1 seed, and then the Carmelo Anthony buzzer beater shot against the Dallas Mavericks, those are the two that stand out for me from a Nuggets perspective. Next, Quigs 8816 says, who do you see getting more minutes going forward, Reggie Jackson or Justin Holiday? I think they're going to get about the same. And the reason is because they're each playing like half a rotation spot. Think about it from this perspective. They are splitting Reggie Jackson or if you fused Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday, then you get Bruce Brown. And when you start thinking about it that way, then Christian Brown in place of Christian Brown makes more sense. And Peyton Watson in place of Jeff Green makes more sense. But you get the playmaking and point guard play of Reggie Jackson, and you get the 3-and-D of Justin Holiday. And neither of those things are great, but like you combine those two, and you get something akin to what Bruce Brown was giving to you. So is it great? No. But I do think that you get 8 minutes of Reggie Jackson a game, and you get 8 minutes of Justin Holiday a game, and then that's 16 minutes. And rather than Christian Brown getting about 15 minutes, 14 minutes a game, like he did last year's playoffs, he gets about 20 minutes per game. That's where you kind of make up the difference a little bit. So I think that's fine. And I don't necessarily say that Reggie should be cut from the rotation or anything like that, or Justin should be cut from the rotation. I think each of those guys have a role, if I'm being honest. Like the way that Denver's done their rotations over the course of these last two games, and how I kind of expected to go moving forward, is that during the point guard minutes that Murray is not out there, that's when Reggie's out there. And during the wing minutes when Michael Porter Jr.'s not out there, that's when Justin Holiday is out there for spacing. And it might be Justin Holiday, it might be KCP, like between those two. You need somebody to kind of space the floor a little bit. So I think that they're both going to get some opportunities, and that's perfectly reasonable, in my opinion. Nothing problematic about that, in my mind. Let's go to the comments here. Cedric asks, and Cedric, you get first crack at it from the comments section. Here's a question. How much have the Lakers learned that the same strategy isn't working against us? That they try something slightly different, and all we do is keep jumping over them? I don't know. I don't know if I'd phrase it like that personally, because I think the Lakers are trying different things. They have gone to a variety of different things. First of all, in the first game, they actually flipped Anthony Davis's and LeBron James's rotations a little bit, what they would normally do in the playoffs, so that LeBron was closing the first and third quarters, and then AD was actually on the court for the second and fourth quarters. And what happened was Anthony Davis, for some reason, got outplayed by DeAndre Jordan in those minutes. That doesn't make any sense. And so they have tried some things. And okay, so you're a little bit of an addendum here. Come on, the Rui adjustment or D'Lo. I don't think they want to go to the Rui adjustment as often. But the problem that you run into that the Nuggets actually figured out in the fourth quarter last game was that when Davis was guarding Jokic, because they actually went away from it. Like, they decided we're going to guard Jokic with Anthony Davis for the vast majority of it. We're going to guard him for as much time as possible. And when he's not out there, yes, Rui will be out there. Yes, LeBron will be out there. And the Nuggets cooked in those minutes, to be clear. But what actually happened in my mind was that Anthony Davis, when he was guarding Jokic, did not want to leave Jokic. He wanted to stay attached to him, and it actually allowed Murray to kind of navigate, whether it was in the mid-range or he kind of in the floater zone, driving to the rim, whatever. It allowed him to navigate in that fourth quarter. He got a lot of the same shots or close to the same shots that he got in the first three quarters. He was a lot more confident. He was a lot more decisive, and that really helped. But I do think that, look, the Lakers are trying, man. They are really, really trying. And it's just difficult to match up with the best in the world. And that's what they're finding out. And it's not necessarily a coaching thing. It's not necessarily a decision-making thing. It's that Denver just has answers for the decisions that you kind of throw at them. And there's not much more you can do about it. Next, let's go to another question. At Soom Panda says, despite winning, do the Nuggets miss Bruce Brown? Sure. Yeah, he would be great. Can you imagine? Like, as what I just was talking about with Bruce Brown kind of being piecemealed together by Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday. Can you imagine if it was just Bruce Brown out there? How much better the fan base would feel and how much more consistent everybody would be? And so, like, what they've been doing, obviously, Reggie has been coming in at the beginning or at the end of the first, at the end of the third. And then Justin Holiday has been coming in at the beginning of the second, beginning of the fourth, sometimes right at the end of the first and third quarter for KCP. But really what's happening is, like, Reggie and Justin are kind of splitting one rotation spot. And so Bruce Brown would just be playing both. Like, he'd be playing those minutes, playing pretty consistently. So, yeah, they probably miss having that stability, having that consistency a little bit, not having to piecemeal it together. But what I will say is, like, Reggie is still, like, there's an opportunity for Reggie to have 10, 12 points in a game, even if it's, like, in 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes, and to make a positive impact on the game. There is definitely a positive possibility there. Also, I thought that Justin Holiday was pretty solid in this last game. Kind of went under the radar a little bit, but I thought he was pretty solid in that game and didn't really make a bunch of shots or anything like that. But he did do a nice job of connecting, playing great defense, and just doing a nice job not allowing the Lakers, especially in that early fourth quarter and even early second quarter, to do, like, just not let those guys get going. And Cosmic says it here. Exploded for 6 points did the Lakers bench last night. 6 points. And part of that is the great defense that even Reggie Jackson was playing. And, like, you haven't heard about a lot of breakdowns from Reggie Jackson through the first two games on the defensive end. So, look, if that is, like, if the worst people can say about Reggie Jackson is that he might make a bad offensive decision here or there, and it's not about the defense, it's not about the rebounding or anything like that, I'm okay with that. And every Nuggets fan should be, too. Couple more here and then we'll hit a break. We'll do two segments today. Aaron Burr, who is doing great work on her own podcast, she asks, how is Jamal looking physically? I thought he looked fine in game one despite missing shots. Game two looked a little bit sluggish. I'm thinking back to it. I think he looked pretty good physically. If I'm being honest, I think he looked fine. What really I thought was bothering him most was up here, was in the mental. I thought, and maybe part of that is the physical aspect of it, where he doesn't feel like he can separate as much as he needs to make certain moves. But in my mind, I thought that he actually was, like, pretty good from a physical perspective. It was just that when he would make his move, and then he tried to navigate the middle of the lane. He tried to get into the teeth of the defense. And then he starts pivoting. He jumps and he doesn't really have a plan when he jumps. He pivots. He tries to find an angle for a pass or a shot. And then he just looks indecisive in those moments. That's where I think the change was. Like, game one, he was decisive. He just was missing some shots. And he got his shot blocked a little bit. by Anthony Davis, and maybe he was thinking about that a little bit in game two, saying, I don't want to get my shot blocked by Anthony Davis. I think that happened twice, and I think he got it blocked by Reeves once. And so if that's the case, fine, I understand that. But game two, I thought it was more about, hey, he's thinking a little bit too much, and the fourth quarter, he just stopped thinking as much. He got to a spot. The Nuggets got him to a comfortable place. The DHO on the right side of the floor with him going left. And he navigated that expertly. So credit to him for fighting through it. I don't think it's as much of a physical thing as it was a mental thing. And that's good. That is a good thing for Denver because they need him physically in shape. This is two wins. Denver's got 14 more wins to go if they want to win a championship. He has to stay healthy or as healthy as possible. So I'll be watching that for sure. All right, tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about more questions and whether the Nuggets can actually sweep the Lakers. I'm very curious as to whether they can do that. But first, folks, we've got some stuff from Autograph that I am very excited about. I actually just got a new notification that says a new trophy here. Congrats on unlocking your first fan zone submission from Autograph. They are doing a great job here of linking Nuggets fans and other NBA fan bases too, other sports fan bases too, to their teams with some great opportunities. If you look at the screen, you'll see $7 signed Reggie Jackson jersey that they're doing a drop for, and you get an opportunity. All you got to do is have 250 coins, and you earn coins by following in the app. It's really cool. Check it out. Make sure to look at the fan zone. Make sure to look at the feed. All the stuff you can listen to. You can listen to podcasts and things like that. It's really cool. This is a really cool thing that Autograph is doing. So make sure to go check them out. And when you do, make sure to use code MHS when you sign up. They're doing a deal with us specifically. So make sure to follow them. Make sure to go sign and download that app and use code MHS. And you'll get some drops and some opportunities through Mile High Sports. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast as always, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Would greatly appreciate that. All right, let's look at some more comments here. At Your Mad asks, are guys like Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt going to have any impact when they return. We got a notification about a couple hours ago or so from Shams Charania from the injury report, basically. Shams read the injury report and basically said, hey, Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, they are listed as out for Game 3. Denver does not have to worry about them for Game 3, despite the fact that there were two separate reports that those guys would be coming back for Game 3, which is hilarious to me. I'll talk about them as if they are available for Game 4, though. Not sure what that's going to mean from a, like, if the Lakers are going to be down 2-1 or if they're going to be down 3-0 at that point. But let's just assume that they're down 2-1. It does give Jokic and the Nuggets a couple of bigger bodies that they have to deal with. A little bit more length, a little bit more athleticism. The Nuggets have managed the Jared Vanderbilt matchup, though. They know what he does. Like, obviously, they're very familiar with him. He was with the Nuggets for a couple years. But more than anything, like, they know exactly what his style of player is, what they have to do in those situations, and what they have to do to keep him off the glass and to make sure that he isn't impacting the game as a defensive player. And they'll do that. They'll be fine. Christian Wood is probably the more interesting variable because he is another big, kind of like Rui. Rui's more of a forward. Christian Wood's more of a big who can space the floor. And if he spaces the floor and plays next to Anthony Davis, then maybe there's an opportunity for somebody like him to give the Lakers a little bit of a lift from a shooting perspective. Lakers have not shot the ball well. As much as I've talked about Denver not shooting the ball well in this series, the Lakers have not shot the ball well, especially from open shots, like wide open shots, either. So if Christian Wood could come back and hit some shots for them, maybe grab some rebounds, grab some offensive rebounds on a second unit, something like that, that could help them for sure. I just tend to think that Denver will be focused in those situations, and I don't think that those guys are of the caliber that's really going to impact the series. But anytime you introduce a new variable into it, it does kind of shift things. So they'll get back more talent. Denver's going to have to respect it, and that's all I can really say about it. It'll be interesting to see whether they could actually change things up. At Dendu A says, what will the refs do? Call fouls. Fouls will be called in this game. I hope everybody's ready for it. The fouls are going to be aplenty. Game 3 is going to be a game where the Nuggets are in foul trouble. It just is going to happen. It's going to be a momentum thing from the home crowd for the Lakers. It's going to be a momentum thing from the conversations that LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Darvin Ham, D'Angelo Russell, name a Laker, they probably complained about the refs. It's going to be stemming from that. The Lakers will be flopping. They will be drawing contact, and they will get to the line in the first half. Because if you're the NBA, you can't really get away with it too much in the second half. First half, it's a little bit different. But I was there in person for the games in LA, games 3 and 4 last year. And I noticed this too. I noticed that the Nuggets got a pretty bad whistle in games 3 and 4, in the first half specifically, but not in the second half. Second half, the calls were legitimate. They were what they were. First half, it was a little bit odd. First half, the timing of it was bad. So I think that there will be some potential foul issues from Denver. There will be some potential foul issues from Denver for sure. I'm getting ready for it, folks. You got to get ready for it too. What's up, CT? Do you see Malone going no point guard with Reggie struggling? Not yet. That's something that you don't need to break out. The Nuggets are +6 in the plus minus in Reggie's minutes so far. That is the number I care about, honestly. It's not about Reggie struggling. It's not about anything else. It's not about the individual, like, scoring or anything like that. All it is about is winning the minutes. That's it. If Denver, like, and there are margins that obviously Denver could be better in. I do agree with that. But Denver could just hit the open shots that they get. And Reggie could just hit the open shots that he gets. And that changes the plus minus tremendously. So I'm very, very curious to see how they handle it. But I'm not as worried about Reggie struggling. But if they did go no point guard, you go like Christian Brown, KCP, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, they'd be fine with that. But that would be like, I think that's more of a late series kind of thing than an early series kind of thing. I'm just not really that worried about Reggie at the moment. What's up, Ronnie? Thank you so much for tuning in from the Middle East. Appreciate it. Yeah, we've got some haters in the comments when Reggie is shooting the ball. And guys, I understand it. I do get it. It's tough. He's not what people are expecting from a shooting standpoint. But here's the thing. Guys like Reggie, all it takes is one game. And I talked about this in the regular season or in between the regular season and playoffs as well. Michael Malone is going to continue to play Reggie Jackson. And he's going to shorten his minutes when he doesn't need to play him. But when he does play him and he's actually hitting shots, those are the games you need Reggie Jackson for. How many games did I say that you needed Reggie Jackson for at the beginning of this playoffs? Two games throughout the entire playoff run. Oh, Jesus. I did it again. I hate that from StreamYard. For those that are listening on audio, I put up the deuces and balloons just popped up for a happy birthday on just good old celebration there. Gotta love it. But I do think that honestly, genuinely, the Nuggets are going to be fine with Reggie on the floor. They're going to be okay. It is not a problem. And folks are, I think, too focused on it, in my opinion. Mark Matombo says, why did you give up on a comeback so early? Do you even like the Nuggets? I think he was saying this tongue-in-cheek because I did the reverse jinx. Mark, I appreciate you. You know I do the reverse jinx. You understand it. That's a thing that's happened for... I was talking to my mother about it yesterday on the phone. And she's like, I know you do that. Like, yeah, you've been doing that for about like 2 or 3 years. I'm like, yeah. Mom, how did you know that? She used to follow my Twitter. I think she got bored. But that's understandable. she's great. But yeah, reverse jinxes are in season, folks. That one on Monday was an epic one. At MaxTan88 or 888 says, Nuggets up 2-0, but is it concerning that the Lakers have developed sizable leads on the road? What happens when Nuggets play in LA? It's a great question, and it's one that I think Nuggets fans have to acknowledge. That, look, the Lakers have done their job for the most part in making Denver sweat at home. They didn't quite get it done, but they made Denver sweat. And for Denver, you can't really expect to shoot that much better on the road than you do at home. Like, that would be, to me, that's ludicrous. To me, that's something that you never would ever possibly think about doing. Like, you think your role players are going to shoot better at home because they're more comfortable in the building. Now, they're like young guys, especially with Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, but guys like Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday are veterans, so who knows? Maybe they get going on the road. Who knows? Reggie Jackson's been in Crypto.com Arena for a lot of his career. So maybe he's actually better on the road in this situation. So I'm curious. Like, who knows? I think that Jamal is obviously very comfortable there. Nikola is obviously very comfortable there. The Nuggets starters as a whole have been very comfortable there. So maybe they will shoot better. It's just not something that I feel like should be counted upon. So that's why I was a little bit worried about Denver shooting at home. But hey, who knows? Maybe they bounce back a little bit. That would be tremendous. All right. Next question. At MF Benghazi, do we see more DJ minutes, or are those only going to happen in games where Denver have the lead or are holding steady? It's a good question. I honestly think that if there are more Lakers bigs within the rotation, then it's a little bit different. Like, Anthony Davis staggered with the second unit in the first game. He didn't stagger with the second unit in the second game. I think that that actually made a difference on top of Aaron Gordon's foul trouble. But Denver, if they are going to face a Lakers team that is a little bit bigger, that includes guys like Jared Vanderbilt or Christian Wood or guys like that, adding in DeAndre Jordan to the mix might not be the worst idea, because Denver's just going to need more size to match up with the rebounding and the athleticism and the physicality of guys like that. They're going to be attacking the paint a lot. You're going to want a guy like DeAndre Jordan in there. So I think it's possible that they add him into this series again. Now, if the Lakers continue to go small, I think you're probably seeing more Aaron Gordon at the five, and that's fine. Denver's okay doing both. But it is funny. I did post this earlier today. In the 96 minutes that Denver has played as a team, they've used 20 different lineup combinations, 20 different five-man groups. The first group, the starters, has played 52 out of 96 minutes. That means that the other group has played 44. 19 lineups, 44 minutes. That's insane. That is a lot of variety. That's a lot of variation of different groups and staggering and things like that. So anybody that's been too critical of Michael Malone for not trying enough things, that would be crazy. I think that they have really tried a lot. They have done everything that they could to try everything that they could possible. Yes, bad core. I know Wood and Vando are out for game 3. This is more of like a game 4, potentially game 5 kind of topic, I guess. But like while they are out, I continue to see that they will probably be going smaller. Like they just don't have the size with their other rotation options to realistically go bigger on the second unit that often. Because Anthony Davis has to stay attached to Nikola Jokic's minutes. Because if he doesn't, then you've got Rui and LeBron as the only kind of interior defenders in that situation. That's just not good enough. So maybe they get Jackson Hayes in there? All right. If you want to, that's fine. You can do that. At LRKO, it's at LRKO, I guess. In what ways will this series help Denver prepare for their next opponents, and in what ways will it be detrimental in their prep for the next series, besides wear and tear? That's a good question. That's an interesting question. I think this series, it gets Denver rolling immediately, and they understand the kind of intensity and the focus that they have to have immediately. Like, that's important. You want to get into playoff mode really early. You do not want to be messing around too much. I think the Boston Celtics, they kind of ran into this in game 2 tonight, where Miami did not come out strong in game 1. It looked like they just kind of rolled over. Game 2, I think Boston probably thought the same thing. And they got caught. They got caught as a result, and they were not ready for that. So Denver, I think, will be less unaware when it comes to a team really kind of like putting on a difficult matchup for them. They'll be less prepared for the jump in competition, for the jump in intensity level. LeBron, you can talk about him all you want, talk about him badly, whatever. That dude was awesome. He was great. And he orchestrates things so well for his team. So I think that he's a good, not great, but a good approximation for Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, actually. Is he a good approximation for Anthony Edwards or Kevin Durant? No, those guys are completely different. But if Denver were to face Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, maybe even, not really Shea's a little different, but if it was like Kawhi Leonard and the LA Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, I think they'd be more ready for that because of what the Lakers kind of provide. Now, detrimental, I think the wear and tear, like you mentioned that obviously is like, okay, not just wear and tear. If Denver continues to like, if they put all of the emotion into this series, they are going to be gassed out mentally too soon. They have to be able to pace themselves. They have to understand how long this is, how difficult of a run getting to not just the NBA Finals, but to the Western Conference Finals, how difficult that is. If the Lakers were to drag this out a little bit, I think this would be very mentally taxing for Denver. And I know that you're talking about wear and tear. It's a little bit different. But just like I think that the actual emotions of this series would really affect Denver. So that would be something I'd think about, that if they had to go for 6 games, for example, that could be pretty painful. Cowboys, Cats, Cubs says, I really want to know what they are going to do on the LeBron AD pick and roll. You can't leave Russell or Reeves. Do you let Davis score 40? Matt Moore and I were talking about this at the game, and he was like, you just got to live with these. You just got to live with these possessions. I'm not sure if that's the case. I honestly don't think that you have to. And Denver went to that adjustment with KCP on LeBron and then Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis. And that was a counter that they had at their disposal. The Lakers will be ready for that. They'll probably put Rui in more pick and roll actions, not pick and pop actions. They want him rolling. They want Jokic defending on the move. And I don't think that he'd do a great job of contesting Rui on the move. I just don't. But if they get him on the move, then that's probably what the action is. But then they're not putting Anthony Davis into the action. That might be a win for Denver anyway. So I'm curious. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know the Lakers will try some different things. I do think that the Nuggets will probably start back with Gordon on LeBron and Jokic on Davis. That would be my expectation. And if they want to try to go the same route, then maybe Denver can adjust. But I would expect Denver to kind of go back to the initial matchups rather than what they used with KCP and AG. Like, I think it's probably a good idea for them to try to standardize things, try to figure things out with their base coverage, as opposed to having to shift things too much. That to me would be, I think, a problem.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Lelou comments, Mavs are easier than the Clippers for sure. Took a hero 3 from Luka and BS floater from Kyrie for them to beat us last time. I agree. I don't know if they're easier than the Clippers, because I just don't think that the Clippers have a lot of gas. Like, they don't have a lot of oomph, a lot of energy. I wonder if they're running out of gas themselves. Kawhi did not look good, and I would guess that, like, with Harden and Westbrook and Paul George, and like, it's just a lot for them to figure out. And yes, Calaman says Mavs have 2 players, Luka and Irving. Luka is probably the 2nd best player in the NBA. That would be my guess. That would be my guess. Mr. 81 in here. Clearly a Lakers fan, says the refs cheated. In game two, the Lakers should have won. Okay, buddy. Sorry that they didn't call the foul at the end of the third quarter and that the Lakers had plenty of opportunities to stem the tide. They just didn't. It is what it is. It's just not your year, man. It probably, like, Lakers might win game three. They might even win game four. I don't think they can win 4 out of 5 against Denver. So, sorry. Not your year. Let's go to the banners again. Aaron Ez, with a lot of numbers behind it, asks, are the Nuggets due for a good shooting game in LA? Gosh, I hope so. That would be great. The numbers that I put out there on Twitter earlier today are that the Nuggets are currently shooting 26.2% on wide open threes, and they lead the series 2-0. Man, okay, now I'm checking my mentions, and there's some weird stuff going on. 26.2% is not good. That is not a good number. And if you're the Lakers, you probably don't feel that great about that, because the Nuggets can have a positive shooting regression game just with Jamal Murray, but also like with KCP. KCP did not shoot that well in game two. He did have a nice quarter in game one, but I do think that there is a strong possibility that the Nuggets bounce back. Basically, they've gotten over from their they've gone over from their bench. And other than Peyton Watson having a couple threes in his first quarter of play, I don't really expect that to happen, but is what it is. All right. Getting some comments here from the chat. Gustavo says, what are your thoughts on the Lakers coach? It's a good question, because I think Darvin Ham has honestly taken probably too much criticism for this series, where the Nuggets have as many answers as you could possibly have for any team in a playoff environment. Like, Jokic answers all questions. Jamal Murray has not been good so far, but even he answered all the questions in game two at the end of it. I think that Darvin Ham gets a little bit too much crap from the Lakers fan base, because there's so much pressure on him. Are there things that he could be doing better? Yes. But one of the things that I've seen criticism for, and like from my guy Krandis McBasketball over on Twitter, is that he doesn't call enough sets, is that he doesn't call enough like plays for the Lakers. Asking a LeBron James-led team to like just call sets seems dumb. It seems wild. Like, Darvin Ham understands that LeBron is going to navigate the situation better than he possibly could. And so sometimes they'll drop some sets. Sometimes they'll run some things out of timeouts. Sometimes they'll do things pretty consistently. But for the most part, I honestly think that the Lakers are in a good spot when LeBron is controlling things. And he puts them into great positions. And sometimes they don't execute. I think that's more on Davis, and it's more on Reeves, and it's more on D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura, guys like that, than it is on Darvin Ham. Like, I just do. I don't think that he is as bad as people think. Joe Folks in the comments says, I trust Darvin Ham more than Mike Malone. Now that is wild. That is a little bit crazy. it is what it is. And shout out Joel Folks, who I know why you have the Joe Folks tag, because of the Nikola Jokic 9 of 32 game back during December. I know. I followed that DNVR show. That was great. So funny. Gosh. Darvin Ham's he's a fine coach. He's not a great coach. He's not a bad coach. He's a fine coach. And asking him to be much more than that, like, with the situation that they're in, like, they're just not, like, the Lakers just aren't a great team. And anybody that's been drinking that Kool-Aid is probably where the problem is. Joe says, look what happens when Jokic goes to the bench. Team falls apart. Malone is clueless. Honestly, I don't agree. And the reason why I don't agree is because Denver has, like, they cater their system and they cater their roster to building the best possible team around Nikola Jokic specifically. If Denver had just one other like capable role man in the pick and roll or like DHO guy, then they would be a much better team with Jokic off the floor. They really would. But it's resources that they don't want to spend there. So it's gone by the wayside. But I honestly don't agree. I think that Malone is a very, very, very good coach. And people get too caught up in the rest of the stuff. By the way, Jokic was a plus one in the game on Monday, and they were a plus one in the minutes without Jokic. So just throwing that out there. Throwing that out there in a playoff rotation context. Couple more here, and then I'm gonna go. I got asked about the Wolves or the Suns. Let me see if I can find that one. Reese Garrett says, do the Wolves or Suns scare you? Just looking at the box score from tonight, I'm pretty unimpressed. This was from Tuesday night. The T-Wolves have holes, but they're also a great defense. Just a great, tremendous, fantastic defense. They're a better defense than the Lakers by a lot. And it's because on top of having a versatile do-it-all defensive big man like Rudy Gobert, compared to Anthony Davis, who's also very good in his own right, just not as good. The T-Wolves also have Jaden McDaniels Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And those guys do so much on the perimeter defensively. They switch, they guard, they fly around, they make life hell for opposing ball handlers. They do a great job. And then Anthony Edwards, when he locks in, is a very, like, he's an athletic defender, a strong defender. Mike Conley is a smart defender. I don't know what actually happened there, but I do think that the Wolves scare me more. They've been the team that's been at the top of the list for me. I think the Suns, Denver can just navigate that a little bit better than they did in the regular season. And I think that that's perfectly reasonable to ask for Denver. Like, they can navigate that a little bit better than how they did. And let's see, is there anything again? David Talks Buffs asks, if we sweep them again, does LeBron leave LA? I guess I'll wrap up the pod with this. There's no way Denver sweeps the Lakers again, right? Right? That's not happening again? There's no way that happens. But what if it did? What if it actually did? What if the Nuggets actually swept the Lakers again? That would mean they would win 12 games in a row, 4 regular season, 8 playoff games against the Los Angeles Lakers. It would be the ultimate owning of all time from the Nuggets franchise over a franchise in LA that has historically owned them. And it would be one of the most amazing things that has ever happened in Nuggets franchise history, save for winning a championship, which Denver was able to do last year. The Lakers, LeBron has a player option, and he has an opportunity to leave. I don't know if he would, because he seems very comfortable in LA. Seems like he can argue with some of the decisions made, some of the situations he'd like to win a championship, but there are reasons to believe that he would just choose to stay in LA if they're competitive, if they're good. Not necessarily having to win a championship the entire time. But it would be wild. Absolutely wild if he left, right? Ain't no way. Right? Well, the Sixers are looking. I think the Suns would be interested. Not sure how they could get him, but they'd be interested. You go back to the Cavs? Could go to the Heat? There are places that would be very happy to have LeBron. Especially with where he's at. Like, they would be very, very happy. I don't know what's ultimately going to happen for the Lakers. Like, this series isn't over. The Lakers could absolutely turn around and win the next two games. But if they don't, and if the Lakers are eliminated by the Nuggets again, that'll be a pretty distinct reminder to LeBron and to the NBA and to everybody involved that LeBron's not at the top anymore. He's always been at the top. But it's been a while since he's won an MVP. Been a while since he's won a championship as like the main lead dog. Been a while since he has even... Actually, they advanced to the Western Conference Finals last year. But I do think, in general, that if the Nuggets are able to get out of this series, and if LeBron is like if 5 games, 6 games, whatever, I think that LeBron will probably try to follow his son. And we had somebody comment on it earlier. LeBron probably follows his son. And like Bronny may decide to go back to school, in which case LeBron has free reign to go, obviously, wherever the hell he wants. But that's interesting for me. That's something to monitor. Like, it's April 24th right now. Not sure when Bronny has to declare. I think it's like 2 weeks before the draft is like when he has to say whether his name is going to be in the draft or not. But here's another funny story. Noah Linden says, let's just draft Bronny. Denver's got the 28th overall pick. 28th overall pick? Could they sign LeBron to a minimum deal in free agency? LeBron doesn't need the money. He's got endorsement deals. He's got a $1 billion contract from Nike. How hilarious would it be if the Nuggets eliminated the Lakers and then they signed or they drafted Bronny with their first round pick? And you know, let's just add LeBron. Do you think LeBron would come off the bench? You think the Nuggets would be like, oh yeah, Mike, sorry, Mike. Need to send you to the bench. Sorry, Aaron. Need to send you to the bench. That would be crazy. That the dynamics of that after Denver won a second championship in a row will be hilarious to try to track. That's if Denver wins, obviously. There's no guarantee that that's happening. It's actually probably not going to happen. But what if it did? It's fun to think about. All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Autograph. Make sure to go check out this QR code and use the link MHS when you sign up for the Autograph app. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. It's tremendous to be able to have a big crowd in here tonight. Very nice to see a bunch of people just very excited about where the Nuggets are at. And maybe not super excited about where the Lakers are at. Going to be interesting. By the way, we've got a bunch of people in here. If you are available tomorrow in Denver, I am going to number 38, where the Lakers and the Nuggets, we're going to have our Nuggets watch party there for Denver Stiffs, for Mile High Sports, for that entire crew. Going to have that entire thing there. Going to do a pregame show. If you want to meet me, if you want to meet any of the MHS crew, we're going to do giveaways. Really fun spot. Always enjoy being there. Should be a ton of fun. So hope to see you there. I'll be there too. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button on the way out. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.